Welcome to Pigskins and Pageantry, a podcast dedicated to all things SEC football. My name is Wes, and I'd like to invite you to join me, Jesse, and Matt each week as we discuss last week's games, news from around the league, make predictions for the upcoming games, and much, much more. And what is happening, everyone? It's Wes. The dogs enjoyed a day off, but there were still some good games on the television, including the infamous third Saturday in October game between Alabama and Tennessee.
We don't need to discuss. We really can.
Well, and that conversation will be pretty one-sided today because Jesse has some prior work obligations this week and will be out, so she doesn't even get to discuss.
She didn't even get the gloat. I don't even have to listen to her gloat. She didn't get to smoke a cigar on tape. I'm okay with it.
But Matt and I are forging ahead, so what's up, sir? I see where you are. That does not bode well. But how are you doing?
Listen, the battered vol syndrome is back in full effect. There's no way it ever goes away at this point. It is the way that the world is. This is how we live. I'm in my padded room screaming at the walls because Nick Saban is the devil.
Well, like I was saying before the show started, I might be joining you in that padded room if the Georgia defense can't figure some stuff out. We'll see.
Come on.
Hey, you know, when these games happen, you throw out the records, you throw out all the prior speculation.
Listen, if you can't get up for the Florida-Georgia game, then you can't get up.
Well, so this is
gonna
true.
They're going to come out firing.
Yeah, exactly. You can't.
You're doing that thing that you do. Where you're like, well, I don't know, guys. It might not go that great. That's how
perfect.
You do that every time.
It's a perfect
every year
impersonation.
You do that.
it
sounds just like you. Yeah.
It does. It was great. Well, let's talk about the games from last week, and we'll get through it.
Always remember, if you ain't first, you're last.
All right, the first game from last week was
speaking
Mississippi
of last.
State. Mississippi State at Arkansas. Mississippi State won this one 7-3. That's right, a baseball score, 7-3, and nobody got the point here. So like you want to talk about ugly? Like we said, this was going to be our dumpster fire game of the week, and it definitely lived up to the hype, right? So no offense in this game. Will Rogers missed this game with a shoulder injury, ending his streak of 38 straight starts. By the way. So Mike Wright got the start for State. Neither quarterback in this game had 100 yards through the air. Neither quarterback had over 100 yards. And ultimately, I guess it was the team that made one more play than the other that won, I guess. State finally gets a conference win and moves to 4-3 overall, while the Razorbacks remain winless in the conference and dropped to 2-6 on the season. That is rough. Like, to make a bowl game, they got to win every single game from here on out. Yeah. Matt, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, like you said, this wasn't a great game for either offense in this particular one. A couple of big turnovers. There were a couple plays where it looked like it was going to bust open for State or for Arkansas, and both of those plays ended up getting negated because of penalties or a false start. So you could have had multiple scores in this, but it got taken off the table. Barely over 400 yards total offense with both teams combined, which is a huge yikes. You got a feel for the Razorback and Mississippi State fans who had some success last year, and they want more of that success, and they're just it's not working out the way they want it. By the way, I think Arkansas has relieved Dan Enos, their offense coordinator, of his duties. I think that he's gone from the team. I don't think that he's with Arkansas anymore. I seem to remember seeing that headline come across on Sunday. I'm just curious as to how is Arkansas going to bounce back from this? Like you said, Wes, they've got to win every game coming out now to qualify for at least a somewhat decent bowl game. So you got to wonder if Pittman's seat is now for real starting to warm up a little bit. I know that we were kind of laughing at that concept a couple weeks ago, but the reality of the situation is you're 2-6 and no wins in the conference. That's a bad look. That's a really bad look.
Well, he did what he had to do, and he got rid of the OC, which is interesting because when we, a couple of weeks ago, had the segment about should Arkansas fire Sam Pittman, and that was more tongue-in-cheek at the time. But we had several people respond on YouTube saying that Enos has got to go. Like it's not necessarily that we have a problem with Pittman. We have a problem with Enos, and he's just not clicking with the offense. So
he
I
was,
think
was he the Falcons head coach or something at one point?
I don't remember his
there
resume.
Seemed to be some sort of. I'm gonna look it up. You keep talking, Wes. Go ahead.
But yeah, it's definitely you know, talking about hot seat. This is you know, something that Pittman had to do. If he didn't do anything, I think his seat would be even hotter, because I mean you got to recognize that things are not working. And you got to make the necessary changes. So
he
yeah, this
the,
is a necessary thing.
He was the assistant head coach at Bama in 2018. He was an offensive assistant at Michigan in 2018 as well. He was at Miami, where he was their offensive coordinator. He was at Cincinnati, where he was the running back coach. He was the OC at Maryland before coming over to Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah. So that was actually just a pretty quick trip for him in Arkansas. and obviously,
real short trip.
Obviously, things not working out. So we'll see how things go from there. And if they're able to, you know, get things clicking again on offense, because, you know, we've watched their offense do well. We've watched KJ Jefferson do well. It would be nice to see them to get back to that. So more to follow there. All right, let's get to the next game. And that was Tennessee at Alabama. Bama did win this one 34-20. I got the point here. Matt, I'm going to turn it over to you, but first all I'll say to sort of set things up is this was a game of two halves. One team showed up one half, one team showed up another half, and you know, and the team that showed up didn't show up in the other half. So anyway, what are your thoughts? What you got?
Wes, I'm going to do an impression. You ready for this?
What's that?
Okay.
Go for it.
We really do hate it. We really do hate it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know what happened here. But my boys. Oh, my boys. Just like I said, battered ball syndrome is a real thing. And it showed up in hurricane force this weekend. That was probably one of the better halves that we've seen Tennessee play this season. They came out in that first half and I was like, what is this? Where are we at? You know, Joe Milton looked like a god. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Finally, we've uncorked it. We can actually play some football. And then the second half started and Bama made some adjustments and they just dominated UT in the second half. And I don't know what happened. The offense couldn't get anything going. Milrow might be the guy. He looked like a completely different animal in the second half too. I mean, he finished with, you know, over 200 yards of offense and two touchdowns. I mean, he looked pretty good through most of that particular game. I mean, Bama put up almost 400 yards of offense and it didn't look bad offensively. It's just, we couldn't do anything. They scored 27 straight unanswered points in the second half. Play calling for Tennessee was very suspect. There were a lot of situations where we find ourselves in like 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, and we're running a little, you know, drag play right up the center of the gut. And it was just, God, there was a lot going on there. This is another stat that I wrote down that I wanted to mention too. Tennessee since when was the last one? Oh, crud, I forgot. Oh, I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Since beating Bama last year, there we go. Tennessee is 1-4 in their last 5 road games. And that's a bad look. That's a really bad look. That only win that they got was against Vandy. It's just, we don't play well on the road. We got to go on the road this weekend against Kentucky. That's got me nervous. and I do want to go ahead and throw this out there. There were a lot of people all over Twitter complaining about the officiating in this game. And I will be the first one to say that I agreed with a lot of this. There was a lot of really egregious, really bad calls. And yes, they did seem a bit one-sided. There were several holding calls on Bama's offensive line where they didn't call them at all. And you're just like, how are you not calling that? My 86-year-old grandmother could see that was a hold. And there was just a lot of really bad calls. But
hold on, Matt. Jesse's calling me. What? Yeah, I can't believe he would say that either. Yeah.
Where you at?
I'm just kidding. Go
wow.
Go ahead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Wes. But the thing is you can't give up 27 unanswered points and then expect to blame it on the refs. You just can't. Yes, there were some very questionable calls in that game, But that doesn't negate the fact that all three of our running backs, that three-headed monster running backs that we have, were completely bottled up in this game. And you can't excuse that. Second half, Bama made adjustments, and Bama played lights out in the second half. And long story short, Tennessee loses. I am curious as to how Tennessee's going to bounce back from here. Granted, two losses in the season, especially this late in the season, is really not that bad. But it makes you worry because you're like, how are they going to respond? Are they going to be able to beat Kentucky? God knows we're going to probably struggle with Missouri. You're going to have a couple, and Georgia's still got to come up to Neyland this year too. So there's a lot of football left to play. Now, all that being said, Bama, like you said, looks like they're starting to make that adjustment, starting to find their feet. That could be dangerous, especially going into the second half of the season. So, you know, Saban showed why he's got all those national titles. Excuse me, and why he has all the wins that he does, and why he's one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the sport. So, you know, I will doff my cap to the Tide. We got outplayed the second half. It is what it is. Although, on a personal note, I'm going to say this one little thing, then I'll shut up about it. Jermaine Burton is a piece of garbage. Full stop. He's a piece of trash. I mean, he's a bad human.
He kind of puts his lack of discretion, shall we say, on display almost every week.
He really does. And
Bama fans don't really even justify it. They're like, no, yeah, we don't like him either.
No, they just kind of roll with it. And I get it. I mean, the kid can play some football, but jeez.
Right. It is amazing what success will make you overlook. And not necessarily that they're, again, not that they're justifying it, but, you know, it's.
Yeah, I mean, between kicking a guy off of you after he's tackled you in the end zone
with both cleats,
yeah, yeah. That was shocked they didn't throw a flag on that, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And you know, and then decking a co-ed after the Tennessee Bama game last year, but it's Jermaine Burton. It's fine.
Now he's, I know Bama fans will reference the punch of the Tennessee player.
Give me a Burton. No,
but
come on,
but. Well, yeah. Let's definitely be fair, because there's no way he was trying to punch the guy in the head. It was very apparent that the guy wasn't down and he was trying to punch the ball out. I mean, that just looked like a regular football play to me. But
every Bama fan in the country was convinced for a fact that he was trying to punch that guy in the face. And I can tell you something: if he had been trying to really punch him in the head, he'd have got his head.
Right. Well, not to mention, and I say this every time we talk about a fight on the field, I'm like, the guys are wearing helmets. That's stupid. Why would you want to hurt your knuckles? Anyway, I know people get caught up in the moment, but you know, and I'm not a Tennessee fan, and I'm not trying to justify stuff. I'm just saying that that was definitely just a football play. As a Georgia fan, I wasn't really sure who to pull for this one. Like, I found myself torn as the game went along. I'm like, oh, that was a great play. Oh no, that was a great play. Like, who do I go for here? Like, because there are scenarios. Obviously, it helps us in the East if Tennessee loses. But then let's say that we make it through the East, and I'm not necessarily sure if I want to play Bama in the SEC championship, because Bama's going to do Bama things, and they're going to look like they struggle throughout the season, and then they're going to play a great game when it counts. So so we'll kind of, you know, have to feel that out as things go too. Obviously, we just got to win games, but I felt like this was a microcosm of Alabama's season, like starting off slow and figuring things out, and you know, and looking confused out there, and then getting progressively better as the game went along. Like I said before, definitely a tale of two halves. Questionable decisions by Tennessee going for it on fourth down, just the fact that they went for it, but the play calls that they had, like some of them were, you know, like lining up in the shotgun and all these long developing plays, plenty of time for the defense to get into the backfield and stop you behind the line. And I
don't know why we didn't throw on a couple of those fourth downs too. I was like, Milton's not looked bad today. Why don't you air it out a little bit? But
I wasn't necessarily mad at going for it on fourth down. I was more, you know, questioning, like, what in the world is that play call for fourth down? Anyway, so like I said, I know there's some questionable calls by the refs as well, but the offensive play calling wasn't doing them any favors either, especially in the second half. So, and obviously the scoop and score was just the backbreaker that just sort of ended it.
I had turned that bleep off to that point because they were winning. Because here's what happened. I was in, where was I at? I was in the car.
Uh-huh.
We were driving back from somewhere through the entire first half. So I didn't watch the first half. I was just looking at things Oh, I was at the Houston County game. That's where I was. I watched just the notifications through the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I got home right at halftime. I was like, all right, let me watch the end of this game and beat the crap out of Bam for a second year in a row. And then about midway through the third quarter, I was like, I must be the problem. And I closed my laptop and I didn't go back to watching the rest of the game. I just watched updates on my phone. It was god awful. I actually had a student come up to me this week and they said, so Mr. Fortson, how do you feel about taking that L against Bama? I said, it's no different than any other year. We've beat them once in the last 27 years. I don't know what you want from me. I mean, it is what it is. Let's hope we can get them next year.
I did like what Peyton Manning said about the game beforehand. He's just like, you know, Peyton really can't remember a game where Tennessee didn't do well against Bama. You know, it's really been lopsided ever since 2022.
He makes a solid point though. It was good last year, not this year.
Anyway, before we get out of here, obviously Jesse did leave a note here. She said, thank God the combination of a cigar and scotch after a game just felt right. Happy third Saturday in October. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
She enjoyed this year's a lot more than last year's.
A lot more, yeah. All right, next, South Carolina at Mizzou. Mizzou winning this one 34-12. Good grief. Jesse
what
and I
is
both
happening?
Yeah, we both had the same point differential. We did the math there. Jesse gets the point, so kudos there. I don't have a lot to say about this one. Missouri just dominated this one in basically all forms, on all sides of the, you know, all aspects of the game. Here's an interesting stat: Mizzou 7-1. Their 7-1 start ties the best start since joining the SEC 2013 when they won the East. What is going on? Is this real life? Matt, what do you think?
Apparently, Missouri found whatever magic juice that Tennessee had last year, and they've been recreating that up there in Missouri, I guess. I don't know what in the absolute you know what is happening. Missouri has Nobody confused does. Me all year long. Every week, we've been like, okay, Mizzou's looked okay. Let's wait for the loss to come in. And I don't think we were going to get it against Carolina, but they just dominated Carolina. Like, they beat them with an inch of their life, and you're just like, okay, maybe this Missouri team's legit. They're threatening the East. They legit might have a shot at this thing. If they catch UGA napping when they play, and they play in a couple weeks, don't they?
Yeah, and I'm so glad that game's at home. If that game was at Mizzou, I would be even more sweating.
That game's going to be very interesting, to say the least. Watch, Missouri will come out and lay an egg in that one. This will probably be where they get exposed.
We'll see.
But it doesn't negate the fact that Missouri's had a heck of a season. You know, Schrader looked like an absolute bear in this thing. Over 150 yards and 2 touchdowns on 26 carries. I looked back at his earlier stats for the year. He's been over 100 yards 3 different times in those games, once against South Carolina and another game against LSU. He was 120 some odd yards. So he's having a heck of a season, and they're leaning on him. That offensive line was very physical through most of this game. They were able to control the line of scrimmage, and Missouri's defense was able to hold Rattler in check, kind of to keep him out of the end zone, only hold him to about 200 yards and a takeaway as well. So when you can hold Spencer Rattler to those numbers, and when you can keep their leading receiver under 50 yards, you've done a pretty good job defensively. So, you know, kudos to Missouri. They're getting it done. I'll be very curious to see how they're going to stack up against Georgia in a couple of weeks.
Question. Drinky, Beamer. I know you dislike both of them.
Are we asking?
Who do you dislike more? At this point.
Oh, and just don't like them?
Yeah.
Because
you've had some pretty strong things to say about both.
That's tough. I feel like it's still Beamer. Yeah. I just feel like Drinky's just annoying. If you're a Missouri fan, I'm sorry. I'm being real here. I'm just keeping it. I'm keeping it 100, as the kids would say. But I feel like it would probably be Drinky. Probably be Beamer. Beamer just, even his post game presser, they were asking him questions about the loss, and he has this deer in the headlights look, like nothing's clicking, and he's coming up with excuses. It's not a good look. So I feel like if I had to pick one that I didn't like the most, it would probably be Beamer.
Okay, that's fair.
Not to mention the gimmicky stuff with Beamer and the crap last year about them beating Tennessee and taking our national championship shot. There's a lot of stuff there, but
right.
But I can tell you right now, if I'm a Missouri fan, I am feeling fine as whatever, because yeah. they're looking good.
It's yeah, already bowl eligible, and as Drinky said, let's not stop now. We'll see how far we can go. So, all right, next
he circled the wagons on Toughness Tuesday.
I guess so. Yeah, M-I-Z. All right, Ole Miss at Auburn was the next game. Ole Miss won this one 28-21. I got the point here. Once again, Auburn's defense keeps them in a ball game, but Ole Miss was able to make enough plays to get a tough win on the road. This is very similar to the Georgia game where Auburn was hanging around the whole time and Ole Miss just able to kind of eke it out at the end there. This is Ole Miss's first back-to-back wins versus Auburn since 1951 and 1952.
That's so it's been a stat.
Yeah.
That is a stat.
Yeah. So signs that, you know, Ole Miss is doing, you know, decent, but also probably more reflective of Auburn being down. So, Matt, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, a couple things kind of stand out for this one. Judkins finally getting over 100 yards and showing some signs of life is a good thing. I really wish that Missouri had played, or sorry, not Missouri. I'm still stuck on drinking. I wish that Ole Miss had played a little bit better at the beginning of the season, because you could potentially be looking at them making a run at the SEC championship, which they can still get to. There's time. It's just they've got to have a little bit of help because they lost that head-to-head to Bama. Right. But, you know, Ole Miss is starting to look better as they progress. You know, football seasons are all about looking better as you progress through the season. And I think that Ole Miss is showing some improvement. Now, along with that, Auburn has had moments where they are kind of showing that they're getting signs of life as well. They're hanging around in games with quality opponents. They hung around with Georgia for a little bit. They hung around with Ole Miss here. If Auburn can continue to do that through the rest of the season, then kind of build on that success next season, we may be looking at a resurgent Auburn program. Now, will that happen immediately? I don't think so, but week one can hope. We need more people in the West to be competitive, so we don't have to see Alabama and Atlanta every daggum year. So, right. You know, both these teams are in a spot where I think they've got some stuff to build on, and I'll be interested to see how that's going to work out.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to the final game from last week. That was Army at LSU. LSU so kindly painted the end zones with the camo Army camo pattern. And then promptly beat them 62-0. I got the point here. I don't have anything to say. This was a blowout. I mean, not that we didn't see this coming. Like we knew that this was gonna be the tone of this game. So I don't know. I don't have anything. Do you have anything?
Well, I just had a really bad thought, really bad joke that I'm gonna tell you off air, Wes. I don't want to say it on here because that would be. That'd be bad. But okay. Listen, this was a nuke. Just like we anticipated, Army comes into this game not looking that great. Their record wasn't very good, and LSU is a program that's been looking decent. You know, Daniels has had a heck of a year, and he showed off in this one over 250 yards and 3 TDs in this game. So he had himself a day as well. So again, LSU just looking to build on the success they've already had, and taking care of business at home. Which, if you can't take care of business at home, Army against Army, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for last week's games. Current pick'em standings, I've got 29. Matt's got 23. Jesse's got 15. So, I mean,
you're pulling away, Wes.
We still have lots of games, so I'm not getting comfortable until I'm doing far enough away.
You're doing the old Jeff Gordon thing where you get plenty of car lengths out in front. So you're going to take off.
Well, I hope so. All right, well, let's talk about a quick bit of news here.
Here's the news.
You know, that's been the first time in a long time I've played that clip, and that just brings me so much joy. All right, so the news this week, Jim Harbaugh is in hot water yet again.
That is not what I wrote, Wes.
He is a you big tell fat the, cheater, you, is what Matt
yes!
says.
Yes! Old Khaki Pants is a big fat cheater. Every Michigan fan just... reported our page for everything. I stand by what I said.
I'm not going to be able to post anything else because our page is just going to be on lockdown.
It's going to just be an absolute mess. This is what happens when Jesse's not here. This is the result. It's your fault, Jesse. You should have been here.
So let's talk about it for real. Like, so this is obviously he's been accused of sign stealing. And the question is that a big deal? Is this outside the norm? Is this like, does this not happen? Do other schools not do this? Like, why is this a big deal that Jim Harbaugh and Michigan are doing it?
Well, I think the big thing that most people are taking out of this is the fact that he got caught doing it, which shows, you know, that this is kind of suspicious. Harbaugh's done a lot of things to kind of get himself on the NCAA's radar over the last couple of years. And I think this is one more thing in that column that just makes him look, again, worse. Is it a big deal? Is it technically illegal? I don't think so, but it's just a very bad look. As Jesse would say, the optics are not good. It reeks of desperation. It reeks of, what's the word I'm looking for? Bad sportsmanship. It's not a good look. It's not a good look at all. And yes, it may not technically be illegal, but when you're trying to steal signs, that almost tells me that you don't have confidence in your game plan to be able to pull off what you want to pull off.
I think some of it is illegal in terms of, I think, was it some of the equipment that they used, some of the video equipment that they used? I don't know. I read something about that where there is a potential that some of it is actually against regulations.
Really? And
it's not just a bad look. Like, it could legitimately be like something that they could be punished for.
Well, I mean, it very well may be. And if the NCAA decides to come down on Michigan with both feet, then they very well may do that. But I don't know if they're going to actually pursue that or not. I don't know the details, but I just know that it doesn't look good.
Have you noticed how most coaches have reacted to it, though? Most of have them they? Are very chill and not jumping right in.
Probably because everybody else does it.
I know. I'm thinking it's kind of one of those things where as I judge, I'm going to be judged type of thing. I feel like a lot of them have that kind of attitude.
It makes me wonder if Kirby and Nick have done something similar.
Well, and I can't remember who said it. I saw a quote where, you know, you could one of the coaches said, you know, you could give them the whole playbook, but they still got to stop you.
That's
right?
True.
And
when we said that before we got on the air today, we were like, well, is it that much more different than just watching tape?
Right.
Because, I mean, you're going to watch tape. You know what the signals are going to look like.
Right.
The only way you're really breaking, like, if you're being, like, extra dubious about it is if you're sitting right behind their bench hearing the auditory cues as well with the sound. I don't know, man. It's a mess. It just, again, Jim Harbaugh seems to stumble from embarrassment to embarrassment with that program. He just can't get a leg up and he can't get out of his own way.
Well, this might be another one of those cases where if you're already in the spotlight for, you know, something bad, you probably want to be on your best behavior. So
not Jim. Jim does not.
Maybe care. Even if it's not, some of this stuff isn't technically illegal. Maybe we just sort of dial it back a little bit, you know, but not Jim.
I saw something earlier today that was talking about how apparently this particular little thing ended up in the hands of some Carolina coaches before Tennessee and Carolina played each other last year. And, you know, Tennessee's offense was lights out against everybody until the Carolina game.
Okay.
So that kind of makes me wonder, and granted, that's probably all conjecture or some people say fake news. But again, it does kind of ask the question, is this legit? Can you do this? Is that okay? And we don't really have a good answer. And Wes really liked that impression.
I mean, I love
it. Yeah,
anytime there's impressions on the show, I love it. So, all right. Well, okay. That is obviously there's something's going to be in the news a lot more, probably. I don't see that one going away anytime soon. Investigations and all that.
You better believe every Ohio State fan in the,
no doubt,
the planet is sending an email to a senator, a representative. Hey, you need to go look at Jim Harbaugh and his cheating ways. Like, I guarantee that's happening.
No doubt. I have no doubt that that's happening. So, all right. Well, we're a little bit of an abbreviated show this week, so we're going to go ahead and get to the upcoming games and make some predictions.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
All right, so the first game of next week, South Carolina 2-5, 1-4 in the SEC at Texas A&M, 4-3, 2-2 in the SEC. That is noon on ESPN. Matt, what is your prediction for South Carolina at A&M?
Beamer Ball is about to get their sixth loss of the season.
Oh, gosh.
Their sixth loss of the season. Boy, that's a bad look. The optics are awful. I'm picking TAMU in this game, 28-17.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good pick, and probably, yeah, it looks like to be the way that most of our picks are going. This is at Kyle Field. South Carolina has been struggling. A&M's gotten better since the start of the season, I think, with a few rough patches recently, obviously against some really good teams. So I'm going to go Aggies here, 35-21. 35-21. Jesse is going with the Aggies as well, 31-21.
I bet she hates picking Jimbo.
Yeah, you know, probably hurts a little bit, but you know, you got to get that point, right? So, all right. So, as you can see behind me, I have a photo that I actually took like 7-8 years ago or something at the Georgia Florida game that we cannot call the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
You can call it that, Wes. You have that right. You have the First Amendment right. You have your protection of free speech. You can call it the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, by God, if you want to.
Well, that's cool. That was sort of a bit of irony. I was calling it that by not calling it that. I don't know what. Anyway, so I thought this was appropriate for this week. It is a great venue. I'm still not a huge fan of the neutral site. Not a fan. I would love to see home and home. I would love
so would everybody else in the conference, Wes. Would everybody else in the conference.
I mean, it would be great. It would be better for recruiting. I think you could, you know, host recruits and bring them into your home, you know, your home stadium on this huge game, a huge rivalry. But I digress. That could be a whole, you know, discussion in and of itself. One day they might do it, but I doubt it. They're making a lot of money off of this. So, anyway.
City Jacksonville needs that shot in the arm. They're not talking about game anywhere.
Yeah. And actually I think it was when this photo was taken. I don't remember what numbers both teams were, but I think game day was there and SEC Nation at the same time was there. So it was.
I will tell you this though, Wes. I don't know if Taylor Swift played a concert at that stadium, but I guarantee she would have made more money.
Well, that is an excellent point.
God knows Taylor can sell out a stadium.
Right. Well, and this isn't a Taylor Swift podcast, but you know, the concert in theater right now is making, I think it's like made more than most movies, like, you know, of all time already.
Listen,
right.
I don't look, the wife is a Swiftie. All right. Huh? So I bought her a ticket to go see that in Atlanta for Christmas, which I had to take a second mortgage out on the house to pay for the ticket.
Gosh, but yeah,
that's beside the point. And then when we got back from our cruise last week, immediately we went to Atlanta. So her and our buddy Chance could go to the movie premiere. So she had a blast.
Okay.
And she was like, "You don't want to go?" And I'm like, "No, it's 11:30 at night. I want to go to bed. I do not need to go see the future Mrs. Travis Kelce dancing around on a stage. I'm good. Let's go to the house."
Yeah.
But seriously, Midnight's is a bop. Anyway, let's go ahead.
It is
a really good album. I will say this about it.
Yeah. All right. So the next game, as
we should talk about Taylor Moore.
We should, you know.
Jesse's not here. I'm sure she loves Taylor.
She draws viewership, too. Look at the NFL. How many more people are watching the NFL now because of her?
Did you see the numbers on Travis Kelce's jersey sales after they announced that those two
was it like a 400% increase, wasn't it?
400,000 something. Like, it was some ridiculous number. It's like, oh, he's dating Taylor. I have to get his jersey. Like,
yeah.
Swifties are weird, dude. No offense. If you're listening to the podcast, you're also Swiftie, you're in a safe place. No one's saying boo about it, but man, they are very passionate. If Taylor had a college football program, there'd be no question on who's the most loyal set of fans.
Well, not to mention the NIL. Can you imagine the NIL for that?
I don't want to even think about the NIL.
They would have all the best players all the time.
All the same.
All right, number one, Georgia. 7-0. This has officially become a Taylor Swift podcast.
There's your title for the episode, Wes. This is all about Taylor Swift.
It's all about Taylor Swift. 4-0 in the SEC at Florida. 5-2, 3-1 in the SEC. This is 3:30 on CBS from Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville, Florida. Matt, let's start with you. What is your prediction for Georgia versus Florida?
Oh, before I forget, because this is a 3:30 kickoff and Gary Danielson will be on the call, he's still a horse's ass. He was during the Bama game, too. Anyway, sorry. I'm saying all kinds of outrageous stuff. Jesse needs to get back here.
You can have to have that consistency, right? I mean, if you're going to talk about Gary Danielson, it's got to be...
I've been saying it for 6 years now. He's a horse's patoot. Listen, I want Florida to win this game. I want it so bad. No offense, Wes. I love you. I mean it.
None taken.
You're near and dear to my heart, but Georgia fans need a humbling something fierce. The dogs need a humbling something fierce. This is a little bit of a trap game because Georgia's kind of had moments where they were kind of on top, kind of not, kind of slow, kind of fast. They can't pick up what they're doing. Brock Bowers is not in this game. This is the perfect recipe for this whole thing to come unraveled. But let's remember that this is Georgia. Kirby Smart, as much as I detest the man, is going to find a way to keep them focused. So I'm going to say Georgia wins this thing, but it's going to be by single digits. I say Georgia wins 33-24.
You know, you make a great point about Kirby getting teams up for the game. And I still actually have this clip and I want everyone to hear it. It was one of the pregame speeches for the national title. Here you go.
All I want to do is f***ing eat. I want you to eat. I want you to eat. I want you to want this shit. You want it? Do you want it? Show me.
Like, I'm ready to run through a wall right away after that. So
I'll say it one more time for the kid in the back. I hate, detest, loathe Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
But the man is a motivator. And he will find a way to get you motivated. He's like a drill sergeant, but he will make you good. I get it. I understand it. I don't like it, but I get
now, it. Georgia has not covered this year in mini games. We've talked about this a lot where they're supposed to win by a lot and they win by just enough.
You remember the old adage, Wes, good teams win, great teams cover the spread.
That's right. I think this is another game like Kentucky, though, where the dogs actually wake up and play the game that they're actually capable of, even without Bowers. Like, I obviously this week has, and this past 2 weeks, because they've had a bye, has been nothing but figuring out who's going to step up. And I guarantee you that everyone has been challenged because without Bowers there, you got to have somebody who wants to be the guy. And I hope that's many of them, right, who want to step up to that calling. But, we'll see. The key for the dog defense to me is going to be getting pressure on Graham Mertz, who has shown that he can sling it with the best of them this year. We talked about it before with the games that are coming up. This sort of begins that gauntlet for games for Georgia, where essentially every one of these games is a potential challenger for the East, you know, as they go. So I do think that inspires the dogs. I am going to go UGA 34-17. Jesse is picking Georgia as well, a lot closer, 31-28. So next is Mississippi State, 4-3, 1-3 in the SEC at Auburn, 3-4, 0-4 in the SEC. That's 3:30 on SEC Network. Matt, what is your prediction for Mississippi State at Auburn?
I'm going to go with Auburn in this one. Mississippi State looked really, really, really rough, offensively speaking, last week. Granted, they were that without Will Rogers, so that probably played a part. But I don't know. I feel like Auburn's at a point where they're going to have a breakout game, and I think this might be it. Now, Auburn's not going to win this game by a huge amount, but I think they're going to get a big emotional win here. So I say Auburn wins 17-10.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is going to be another rough, defensive-heavy game, although a little bit more offense than the State-Arkansas game. I mean, you couldn't help but have a little bit more offense than that one. Being in Jordan-Hare is going to be helpful for the Tigers as well. I'm going to agree with that. I'm going Auburn as well, 24-17. Jesse is also picking Auburn, 28-17. So We'll see how that one goes. Next, number 21, Tennessee, 5-2.
You could have said number one, Wes. It would have been. What might have been?
They're 5-2, 2-2 in the SEC at Kentucky. Same record, 5-2, 2-2 in the SEC. 7 o'clock on ESPN. Matt, what's your prediction for the Vols? I know you said a little bit earlier you were a little nervous being on the road again. What do you think?
This is a night game in Kroger Field. If you've paid attention for the last couple of years, you know that Big Blue Nation gets up for night games at Kroger Field. They're going to come out, you know, full bore. They're not going to hold anything back. We'll have had a whole day's worth of day drinking to get wound up for this game. So I think Tennessee still finds a way to win this thing. I think that Tennessee is going to be looking to bounce back after a really ugly loss in the second half of that game last week. So I'm going to say Tennessee wins, but I think it's going to be a late score, probably on the last 3-4 minute drive in the fourth quarter. I'm going to say 24-17 Vols.
Okay. So like we said, they're in Kroger Field. I think Tennessee does right the ship here. Like you said, I think they're kind of going to be playing inspired and wanting to right the ship after that. So Joe Milton, I think, is going to have a good game here. And I think the defense of Tennessee makes it a rough day of it for Devin Leary. I'm going to go in a close game, though, Tennessee 28-24. Jesse is saying a close game as well, Tennessee 30-27. All right, the final game. Keep in mind, we got a lot of buys, you know, so we only got, what, 5 games? 2, 3, 4, 5? Yeah, 5 games this week, so not a ton. But a few good ones. Next, or finally, is Vanderbilt 2-6, 0-4 in the SEC at Ole Miss. Number 12, Ole Miss 6-1, 3-1 in the SEC. That is 7:30 on SEC Network. Matt, your prediction for Vandy at Ole Miss? What do you got?
Does Vanderbilt pick up their first conference win this week?
Oh, snap.
Survey says no chance, man. You can go ahead and take it to the bank. Ole Miss is going to win this ball game. I'm going to say Ole Miss wins by a couple scores. I'm going to say 42-20.
Okay. Yeah, this is expected to be a blowout. But remember, Vandy had a few surprises against Georgia a few weeks ago. I say Ole Miss wins, but I'm going to say they don't cover. I'm going to go Ole Miss 35-21. Jesse's going Ole Miss 35.
What's the line at right now?
I think it was closer to 3 scores. I don't know what it is right now. This was a couple of days ago, the last I saw. But, yeah, I think it's a little bit more than that.
Interesting.
Maybe 17, 21. I don't know, somewhere around that. Jesse says Ole Miss 35-17. So that does it for the upcoming games. And that does it for basically the show, unless you got something else, a burning topic to talk about, Matt, or anything that you just want to get off your chest.
Do you want to talk politics?
Gosh, boo! And the rating just went. We
finally have a new Speaker of the House. That's something to talk about. But we'll have to talk about that there. We don't like to mix our sports with politics. It's usually not going to end well.
Yeah, we enjoy just having a good time, and it is one thing that sports can do is bring us all together. And sometimes that's all together in mutual hatred of teams. So
I heard that.
Let's go ahead and get out of here. I appreciate everyone listening. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at pigskinsandpageantry@gmail.com. We are at pigskinsandpageantry on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook until we get reported by the Michigan fans and cannot post any longer. We are on X at PPS Podcast. I was waiting for that. Don't forget, we are available for download on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, TuneIn Radio, and most podcasting apps for iPhone, Android, and other operating systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment, subscribe, smash that subscribe button, and review. We would love 5 stars. That would greatly help our visibility, and more people can find us, and we can continue to talk and have great conversation with wonderful people. This is Wes. Until next time, go Dawgs, beat Florida.
Hey guys, guess what? The Phillies lost. They're not going to the World Series. Go Vols. Beat Kentucky. So
we have to spend just a little bit of time. Isn't it
okay? Let's talk about it.
Isn't it wonderful when you know, stuff happens and then the universe just acts and just totally sets things right.
Yep. It's
that's
like,
all
it's
I'm
like,
going to say about that.
It's like it's like in an 80s movie when the jerkweed gets uppercutted onto a table at the punch bowl. It's comeuppance. We all love it. End the show, Wes.
Okay.
Oh my God, I'm so tired.